Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, and welcome again to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. Now, my name, of course, for most of you who know, is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I am a Messianic pastor or a Messianic rabbi, and our quest on this show is to unravel and to begin to understand the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed by God to answer the perplexing questions that we tend to have pertaining to our Heavenly Father and pertaining to Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Now, at this time, I have the awesome pleasure to introduce the second half of this particular show's host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction. I'm glad to be a co-host for the show. It is truly a blessing to share the truth of the Word of God. Yah, this is our 45th show, and we're going to continue to answer the questions about worship pertaining to the items in the temple, the tabernacle. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right. Thank you very much. So, Father, we just are excited about you showing up because this is your show. We're excited because you have given us the opportunity to be used by you as an instrument unto honor and not an instrument of dishonor. We thank you, Father God, that you desire for each and every one of us to understand and to apply this question on a daily basis. So, Father, I'm excited to see and to hear what you are going to share with us so that we can begin to not just enjoy the teaching for the sake of knowledge and understanding, but so that we can apply it to our lives every single day, every moment, so that we are in an attitude and a posture of worship, regardless of the situation or circumstances that may happen throughout our day. So, Father, with that, we thank you. I thank you for forgiving us for sin, iniquity, and transgression. And, Father, we make a quality decision right now to forgive those who have sinned against us, caused iniquity and transgression against us and our families. Father, we use not our own strength or our own might to do this, but we use the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to do this very thing. So with that, we thank you, and we thank you that you give to us your Ruach, which is the teacher and the comforter. So you are welcome in this place. You're welcome in this broadcast. You're welcome in the airways to share what we desperately need. In Yeshua's name, amen. And I'll hand it back to you, Evangelist Anita, if you could kind of get us up to speed and just kind of give us a quick overview of where we have come from and where we are now so that we can begin to launch into a deeper understanding pertaining to the tabernacle, because I know we left off at that showbread, but if you could ramp us up to that and how that interplays and locks into worship. Amen?
Yes. Amen. Amen. And so with the last show, you were telling us the three main articles of focus, which also point to Yeshua Jesus, is the menorah, the seven candles, and you reference Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 2, and Revelations. And you also talked about the table of showbread and the altar of incense. You wanted us to know that we can't do it ourselves without the help of Yeshua Jesus getting to the Father. And it is about our relationship. It's not about us making ourselves clean and holy, but truly our relationship with Yeshua, and to make the choices that will benefit us in the long run. Another point is that you pointed out that Adam and Eve didn't know at the time when they were in the cool of the day, that they didn't realize they were clothless. They had a daily worship in their relationship with Yah. They were clothed in the Holy Spirit, clothed with Him. And you refer to Genesis chapter 3, verses 8. And you told us that at that time when they had fallen, they hid themselves, but they were trying to maintain a state in the holy place. And that we, too, needed to realize that Yah created us for His offering. Our focus should be so on Him that we will keep our eyes on Him and have a desire to be in that intimate place with Him in the Holy of Holies. You went on to talk about the showbread and how, of course, again, that points to Yahushua Jesus and how He gave Himself. It refers to the communion, but that we need to go from faith to faith, level to level, and glory to glory. To go to the showbread with Yeshua, things need to change and increase on the inside. True communion changes us on the inside. That we shouldn't be a hurry when we're in the presence of Yahushua, and to understand the process of worship, allow Yahushua to work within us. And then you begin to go into the altar of incense, and we end it with the scripture, Romans 8:26. And I'll hand the show back over to you, Roger.
Amen. Very excellent. I just wanted to give you your accolades, because that was an excellent summation of where we were. So now we're getting ready to discuss and begin to understand for ourselves, so that our relationship can be that much richer with Yah and with Yahushua. We're getting ready to go to that last furnishing, that last item that's in the holy place, and that is the altar of incense. Now, it's really, really important for us, even though we've talked about it when we began to discuss about Joshua, the high priest, in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and I think we've read 3 as well. But we began to talk about how that's where an introspection, that's where a true introspection from Yah happens. Because that veil covers to protect us. And it protects us because of the state that we often find ourselves in when we are going before Him in worship and in praise. Oftentimes, and we all are at fault, no one is innocent of what I'm about to share. But I feel led of the Spirit to begin to share this because it has to change. Evangelist Anita, what I'm about to share has to change in our lives. In our lives, it has to change. Because we've gotten into a complacency to where we get into worship, we are not impregnated with the expectancy of seeing Yah and to seeing Yeshua show up, or to see an angel of the Lord, minister of the Lord, come and minister. We're not prepared. We're not ready. And one of the things we've got to understand about worship is designed for us to have an encounter. It's not designed for us to say, wow, that was really awesome, God. That's a counterpart. That's a portion of it. But it's a relationship. It's a relationship. When I married my wife, I wanted to have a relationship with her. And I wanted it to be social. I wanted it to be emotional, but I also wanted it to be intimate. I didn't marry her so that we could have a ceremony and say, you know, that's really nice. You're going to go to your house and I'm going to go to my house and we'll see you, you know, sometime next week. But that's the way we worship. And like I said, we are all at fault. because we get caught up in the mundane of worship in the manner in which it's happening now. And we forget that worship is the prelude to an encounter. It's the prelude counter. It's the prerequisite of having a face-to-face, not only with Yeshua, but with the Father himself. Why do you think, for those of you that are very keen in your eschatology, your end-time understanding of Scripture, why do you think it says that the bride is going to be in New Jerusalem? And there's two individuals that will be there awaiting her arrival. Yahushua, Jesus. And Yahuwah, our Father. And that is where the bride will be. So this worship is a prelude, a preparation, if you will, a process. But we have to never forget what the process is there for. So when we come to the altar of incense, that is when something is going to happen. That is when you will have an encounter. And that is when you and I both will know what's inside of us. And if we were prepared to have that encounter, whether it's with an angel appointed to give us a message, or whether it's Yahushua himself, and eventually whether it's the Father in heaven, we need to be prepared. And when we get to the altar of incense, we need to understand that we're not going through the motions of worship. I want to give you an example, a biblical example, of individuals who should have known better, who should have understood, who were called of Yah to teach and instruct the children of Israel on how to enter into his presence and how to have these encounters with him. I want to show you what we have to be very careful not to become. And we're going to read this out of Luke chapter 1 and verse 11. So if Evangelist Anita will get to Luke chapter 1, verse 11, what we're going to do is we're going to get an idea. And I'm going to give you a positive affirmation of what we should be doing and how we should be expecting. And that expectancy is being pregnated. Okay? We as the bride, those of you that qualify as the bride of Yahushua, the bride of Jesus, when he shows up, you are there to be fruitful and to multiply. You are there to be impregnated. So your mind needs to be on that. Your heart needs to be there. You need to be expecting, to be expecting. You need to be expecting, to be expecting. Every day, the Father lays up new mercies. And new mercies are in the Holy of Holies, we said. So that means every day we need to be expecting to be expecting. Because you can't find and manifest the mercies that's in the mercy seat without first being spiritually impregnated to expect the supernatural manifestation to happen so that you can execute what is necessary on our end. We need to be expecting to be expecting. And it's a daily process. Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Zechariah. Now, this is not the prophet Zechariah. This is Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. This was his job. It was his calling. It was actually his turn to actually do the service that the high priest would do in a cycle that they had that was established by King David. He had a 24-member or cycle that he had set up so that there was 24/7 worship like it was already established before, but so that any one individual or any one group of individuals within a group within the tribe would not be burned out of Aaron's lineage. And this just so happened to be Zechariah's turn. This process had become so mundane that they never expected a manifestation of a supernatural event. They just expected to go through the motions. How many times have we just expected to go through the motions of worship so that we can get to our ball game or get to, you know, our dinner or lunch or to get about our own agenda? Well, this time, Zechariah was interrupted by an angel of the Lord to give him a message. While he was at the altar of incense, when he went through all of the processes that we have talked about, and then came to the altar of incense with the full thought in his mind and his heart to just go through the motions. But this was a divine time. It was a divine moment. And it was not a monologue, because God wanted to have what he always wants to have with us, a dialogue. Evangelist Tanita, if you could read that for us, please. And that's Luke chapter 1, verse 11.
Luke chapter 1, verse 11, and this is the New King James Version. It reads, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense."
Zechariah was in front of the altar of incense, and an angel of the Lord appeared to the right side as he was looking at, or looking towards, the Holy of Holies, looking at the veil. This angel of the Lord began to speak to him about the things that were about to happen. But I want Evangelist Anita to read verse 12, and you'll see how the man of God reacted, which would tell you, me, and all of us that he was just going through the motions, not expecting to be expecting. Not expecting to be pregnated. Not expecting for his worship to really give substance and value to the relationship. Just going through the motions. Could you read that for us, Evangelist Tania?
Yeah.
I believe it's verse 12.
Verse 12. Mm-hmm. That's it. Verse 12. "And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him."
Continue to read.
"But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John.'"
Okay. as he was worshiping and praying, God heard him. Yah wanted to connect with him and bless him. Yah wanted a relationship with Zechariah. Wanted a dialogue with Zechariah. And Zechariah was so used to nothing happening, nothing fruitful manifesting. He was so used to that, that the spirit of fear overcame him when finally the very thing that he was supposed to be doing and the fruit that he was supposed to be receiving for what he was doing finally happened. I pray that as we go through this, that we all, and when I say we all, I totally include myself in this, that we begin to change the dynamic of the way we view worship and prayer, the way we view praise, the way we view going in from the outer court and supposedly going into the Holy of Holies. Pray that we begin to have a desire to not just do worship from a standpoint of just willy-nilly, just, you know, for the sake of doing it, but never really believing that anything will become of it. Acts chapter 5, verse 19. I pray that we begin to have a concept and an understanding that when we go into worship, when we go into prayer, when we go into the intimate worship, that is going to bring forth fruit, that it's going to manifest, that it's going to do what the Father has said would happen with his word. Because the Father said that his word, his own word, would not return to him void. So if the Father says that about his word, and we are his offspring, and worship is a relationship, then the Father expects us to imitate and be like him. And not be startled and afraid and with all types of fear when our prayers, because of our worship, because of our praise, gets answered. In this particular passage, Peter had been imprisoned, and the saints began to pray for him. And they were thinking, they being, you know, the Sanhedrin and the individuals in power at the time, were thinking about killing them. But Peter and John stayed in an attitude of prayer. This is where the famous Acts chapter 4, verse 12 incident happened, where Peter said, you know, if you guys are having a debate about whether or not we should be using the name Yahushua or not, you know, let me set the record straight for you. But in chapter 5, verse 19, while they were in prison, the prayer was answered, and an angel was sent. And I want you to get into the pattern of understanding that when your prayers are about to be answered, when manifestation is happening, that this is similar to being at the altar of incense. And the way we react and the way that we act will determine whether or not our worship, our prayers, and our worship and our prayer would go into being impregnated to manifest something fantastic. Or will we, like Zechariah, be put into a state of silence so that we don't abort the seed that the Father has placed within us. Acts chapter 5, verse 19.
Okay. Acts chapter 5, verse 19, New King James Version. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, do you want me to go to verse 20?
Yes, please.
Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.
So when you start to see this, you begin to realize that not even the circumstances that they found themselves in could hinder them, could stop them from fulfilling the blessing of what was being impregnated then in them to be birthed. We, and I say we, all of us, have to get in mind and in heart especially, that when each morning starts, the Father has already designed that morning to birth greatness in us and a manifestation of His relationship. Because the greatness is not so that we could say, look at us. The greatness is so that we could point back at Him. Not so that we can say, look at what we have done, but to give glory to what He has done. That's the epitome of the worship, the praise, and the prayer. That's what this should be about. That's what should keep your joy. That's what should keep your peace. Your peace is kept because you know that there is nothing that the enemy can do that Yah can't get you out of. That is imperative for us. We must understand that. And we must not react like what happened in Luke chapter 2, verse 9. And if you can go to that particular passage as well.
Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse 9, got it.
Yeah, yes, and as you're going there, this is when the shepherds had their altar of incense experience with an angel. And the reaction is something that we need to work at not allowing to be contagious within us, because that reaction will jeopardize, will abort, will miscarriage. It will miscarriage the call and purpose of your life. Go ahead and read that if you would, please.
Okay. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid.
We have got to work towards not being greatly afraid. It will abort the call and purpose on our life. It will abort every opportunity that you desire to have manifest. When you feel, when I sense and feel that fear is coming, that should just warn me and give me an indication that my faith tank is about empty. And if it's empty, I don't waddle in despair and agony because it's empty. I go to the fill-in station of Yah and get it refilled. Because purpose is who and what He's called us to be. Individuals of purpose. I'll stop there. And Evangelist Tanita, if you could share with individuals exactly how they can learn more about us and opportunities with our college to get more into the deeper things of Yah at this time. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again for another great show and helping us to really know where we need to be in our relationship with Yah. The show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can email your questions to tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry is Beth Hashem Ministries, and there are two websites that you can research us on. The first one is www.bethhashem.org. That is BETHHASHEM.org. We also have a Facebook page. That is www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you would like to attend services, if you could please email us at BethHashem@yahoo.com for directions. That again is BETHHASHEM@yahoo.com. For those that desire to have a more in-depth knowledge or understanding, the Brick understanding, we do have a dual college. And if you would email us at office@bethhashem.org, and we just want to thank you for attending the show. And I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, let every word that you gave in this broadcast hit the target of its destination in the hearts and the minds of each and every person, each and every listener. Let it rattle them to the core. Let it cause them to have more desire for purpose, more desire for impregnation of your word and germination of what you have called. Let them protect the very rima, the very dabar that you spoke and that you've spoken to each and every one of us pertaining to our own purpose, our own chiastic structure. Let everyone have such a sense of urgency and a burning sense of desire that they finish with a spirit of excellence is our prayer. In Yahushua's name, until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.